93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The question ahead of Saturday's match with Doncaster was, can the Blues get a result against one of the division's more dangerous sides? The answer to that?
Square ball, chance for James, shot on goal into the net, and Doncaster have scored.
No. Pompey fell to a 1-0 defeat at home to Donny at the weekend, whilst also recording a third league game without scoring a goal, having played just six at this early stage. On the show tonight, we'll be hearing the post-match reaction of midfielder Ben Close.
We can't get too down about it. It's early on in the season, and I know that's not the result we wanted, especially at home, but we've got a big week ahead. We can turn it around.
As well as the pre-match thoughts of the gaffer ahead of the next fixture.
You know, we have confidence in the group of players that we have. They have a lot of ability and want to be delivering results consistently.
The Blues travel to Gillingham tomorrow night for match day 7 of the new league campaign, aiming to protect their unbeaten record on the road this season. Kenny Jackett will also be seeking a result and a performance to match to bounce back from Saturday's dismal display. We've got so much to get through between now and 7, and as ever, we're relying on you back home, the Fratton faithful, to get in touch and share your reaction and any questions you may also have. So be sure to tuck yourselves in, get your phone at the ready, and remain plugged into Express FM. Be it on FM, DAB, online, or through your smart speaker, because it's time now for the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
As ever, good evening and the warmest of welcomes to the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, the only radio station from the great waterfront city. This season, the show is brought to you by Stagecoach Across the South, a bus service you can rely on. Visit stagecoach.co.uk for the latest information on guidelines relating to COVID-19. It is great to have you along, Pompey fans. I hope you're all well and safe. Looking forward to hearing from you on the show this evening. So, what have we got coming up for you tonight? Well, I'll be calling two more Blues supporters to begin an inquest into where it all went wrong at the weekend. We've got plenty of talking points and some big questions to try and get through to as well. We'll also be taking a little look at tomorrow evening's game at Gillingham in the third part of the show. And as I've already mentioned, we'd like to hear you back home to get in touch with the panel this evening. Put Express at the start of your text, followed by your name and message. Send those to 81400. You can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/pompeylive. But before we do start with the conversation, we're going to kick off with a revisit of Pompey's last outing. The Blues welcomed Darren Moore's Doncaster Rovers to Fratton Park on Saturday with the aim of securing a fourth consecutive victory in all competitions and a third in League One, though Donny clearly had plans of their own. On the commentary for this one, Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here. 90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Referee Brett Huxford is just waiting for the clock to tick over towards 3 o'clock. Just checking everyone's OK. And we are underway at Fratton Park. And Doncaster immediately send the ball long, looking towards James. And Callum Johnson is happy to see the ball go out of play for a Portsmouth throw. Okunabiri takes a touch and goes back to Gomez on halfway, tries to keep it moving, gifted the ball to Harrison. And now there's a danger as Okunabiri could be in here, and it's good defending from Portsmouth goalkeeper Craig McGilvery saving them. The defence cut open and a save to keep it at 0-0. Watmore, a half volley forward, and Curtis picks it up. 30 yards out, Curtis, he's got Harness on the right, Harrison and Cannon to aim for. Harness towards the far post, should be the goalkeeper's. He can only palm it. Can Cannon square it for Ben Close? He can't find him. And Doncaster will scramble it away. Ben Close is going to plonk it down. Plays a 1-2 with Brown. Now some space for Brown on the left infield, looking for Cannon. Cannon outside the area. Cannon hits it just wide of the post. James steps up, tries a shot on goal, and that is no more than catching practice from a
McGilvery. Yes, poor free kick that, wasn't it?
The drop kicks it forward quickly, looking towards Marquis. The two centre-halves collide and Marquis into the penalty area, but he can't get the shot away. And despite the goalkeeper fumbling, it's a chance gone. Sims breaking into the penalty area. Josh Sims running at Raggett. Square ball, chance for James. Shot on goal into the net. And Doncaster have scored. Rhys James's first of the season. Had time to turn and place the ball in the top corner. And Portsmouth are down on their knees. Well, Harness and Naylor are. It's Portsmouth nil, Doncaster 1.
For James to be able to turn and get a shot on target there without any Pompey player getting and closing the shot down is poor. Poor defending.
Portsmouth with 55% of possession and 15 shots to 9 today, but the stats might be in their favour. They were in MK Don's favour a week ago, and the 3 points went the way of Portsmouth, but today the 3 points do not go Portsmouth's way. It's Doncaster who have secured victory here at Fratton Park by 1-0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM, Pompey Live.
The highlights there of a disappointing day at the office for the Blues, who slumped to their second home league defeat of the new season, having played just 4. And despite going the entirety of the last campaign unbeaten at PO4, Pompey fans tuning in tonight, do you believe that the lack of a home crowd is taking its toll on the proceedings on the pitch? What would the weekend's result have looked like if Fratton was packed to the rafters? Don't hesitate to get in touch with us before 7 o'clock this evening to have your say. It's about time we take a look at the lineup on the show this evening, I suppose. First of all, a welcome back to Ben Chu, who is calling in from Bognor Regis. Ben, good evening, mate, and thanks for joining me tonight.
Good evening, Jake. Nice to be on the show.
It's a pleasure, as always, Ben. It was another defeat on home turf at the weekend, Ben. And as I've just asked to the listeners back home, do you believe that the empty stands inside Fratton is having some effect on the way that the team performs this season? Now, it's by no means an excuse, don't get me wrong, but it does seem to be a factor playing a big part.
Yeah, agreed. I think, obviously, they can take the foot off the gas a little bit, you know, with no fans there sort of be in their ear. But I don't know. I think if the fans were there, they could sort of voice their opinion with the results and players' performances, really.
Yeah. And joining you, Ben, on the other side of the line is Alex Fletcher, who returns to chat to us this evening. Alex, it's great to hear from you again.
Hi, Jack. How you doing?
Yes, very well. Thank you, Alex. The same question to you, really, now, then. Is it clear in your eyes that perhaps if supporters were allowed in, even at a reduced capacity, the 11 on the pitch would be able to gain a bit of motivation at times when things need to improve and the confidence of the backing when things are going right?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's in those moments in the games where you need the fans to sort of just drive you on when you've got a bit of forward momentum. I think particularly at the end of the first half, we had a bit of forward momentum and you want that to sort of be carried over, that optimism, into the second half. That onus then falls on the manager when you've got no fans to give that motivation, and that's perhaps where there's problems in the team at the moment. So, you know, even in the down moments when you're under pressure, you need fans to give you that lift.
Yeah.
Reduced capacity would do that somewhat. But, you know, for these players, you're used to, you know, a pretty decent atmosphere at Fratton Park, you know, more fans than you'd be used to at many clubs in League One. Taking that away is a massive shock. And there's just none of the sort of extra motivation and extra factors that go into a game without them there, really. And I think it's a detriment to us, to be honest with you. And you can see that with our results at home so far this season.
Yeah, and it's something we debated on Pompey Live after the game on Saturday. Ben, do you think that because of the situation, you know, games being played behind closed doors, are you of the belief that maybe teams are coming down to the South Coast and not necessarily fearing Pompey? Maybe, you know, that's got some bearing as to, you know, the results that are taking place and the performances as well. But most importantly, the fact that they don't have 18,000-19,000 fans screaming, you know, in support of their team and against the opposing teams, you know, coming to Fratton Park. Do you think that teams are actually no longer scared of Pompey?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it gives them a chance to sort of come out of their shell. Mm. Players can sort of play free football just like they're playing in their own ground. So, yeah, I think it's a massive positive for them when they come here.
Yeah. And these aren't excuses, by the way, Pompey fans. You know, there's no kind of defending what we've seen so far this season. You know, must admit, the performances haven't been great, have they, Alex? But it does, as Ben, you know, quite rightly mentions, it does feel like there's no real home advantage for any team in this division, you know, this season, with no fans in attendance anywhere. You know, we go up to Sunderland on Saturday. Actually, that might benefit us, not having 20-odd thousand Macken fans screaming in the faces of Pompey and having, you know, the Blues supporters tucked away in the corner. So it is swings and roundabouts, and we could say the same for other teams in the division too.
Yeah, I think it is a problem. Like I say, you would bring up Sunderland as perhaps the other example of the teams that can use their home crowds to their advantage, and where players will want to go and they'll feel an extra challenge. The certain players will go there and they'll think, okay, well, we want to try and silence the crowd. We want to try and do our best, you know, at this club because it's Pompey or because it's Sunderland or because it's Ipswich or whatever. But without the fans there, they still feel that challenge to go to Fratton Park and get a point.
Yeah.
But then, like you say, they don't have the nervousness. I would be really intrigued to see our away record. You know, going to Sunderland, as you mentioned, I think we could go there with a lot more confidence than we would if we were playing Sunderland at home, for example.
Yeah.
It is swings and roundabouts, but you can't legislate for it. You have to be able to adapt. You know, all clubs are in the same boat. We are at a disadvantage because we are quite a passionate fan base. We're a big fan base for this league, but you've got to adapt to it, and that comes down to the manager and the players, really.
Yeah. Ben, Alex, thank you both for your input. I'll come back to you guys shortly, but not before we hear the post-match reaction of Ben Close, who made his first league start for the Blues since the 7th of March at the weekend. Ollie Marsh spoke to the midfielder on the touchline after the game, first asking how it felt to finally be included within the starting 11.
Yeah, obviously delighted to be back in the team. Obviously would have wanted a win, wasn't to be. But yeah, on a personal note, really happy to be back out there and looking forward to the week ahead now.
Do you feel like it's been a long time coming? You've obviously had to be patient.
Yeah, that's football. You find yourself out of the team at times and all you can do is be patient, make sure you're training well. And eventually your chance will come and that happens. And although it was a disappointing result today, like I said, I'm looking forward to the week ahead, and so are the players, so are the staff, and we need to bounce back.
We've said to we've spoken to the gaffer. He said that the midfield battles were always going to be crucial today. What was it like to play in today's game?
I think we played really well at times, not for long enough, obviously, because we didn't get the result we wanted. But we had some good bits of play. Started the second half strong. We finished the first half strong, and didn't really, you know, take our chances when they came, even though we didn't really get any clear-cut ones. The midfield battle was good. I thought we were disciplined. I thought we kept our shape, stopped their good players from really affecting the game, and did almost cancel each other out a little bit. But like I said, I thought we had moments where we did play well and didn't capitalise, and that's what we need to learn from.
Yeah, and then when you go 1-0 down, it's easy for their heads to drop, but you kept playing forward. Did you feel like that goal was going to come for you?
We did, and we have got that. We conceded a goal, and we have got the right attitude in the lads. And unfortunately, like I said today, it wasn't to be, but we can't get too down about it. It's early on in the season, and I know that's not a result we wanted, especially at home, but we've got a big week ahead. We can turn it around. Two big games this week and plenty of points to play for.
Yeah, it's defeat at Fratton Park for the second time this season. That's two more times than was last season. Do you think it makes a difference with the crowd not being here? Because they would have really got behind you today.
Yeah, massively it does. We have got a great set of fans. Fratton Park is rocking on a Saturday usually. At the moment that isn't the case, but we can't let that affect us. We can't use that as an excuse. And we've got to learn how to play without them for now. And that's something we're continuing to try and learn to do. And we know that results need to be better at Fratton. But like I said, it is early on in the season, and there's plenty of points to play for. Like I said, this week we've got three games, and hopefully we can turn it around.
Yeah, and it's obviously, you know, one extreme to the other, home comforts to two quite lengthy away journeys. Is that something that you're looking forward to, though, because it gives you the opportunity to put this one behind you?
Yeah, that is the only good thing about football. You can turn it around quickly after a bad result. We've got, like I said, three games this week. Started off with a bad result, but if we get two good results on the road, then you can look back and say it's a good week. So we've got to prepare now for Tuesday. Make sure the attitude's right for the game, like, you know, I know it will be from all the lads, all the staff, and just go out and get a better result, and that is important that we do that.
The thoughts there of Pompey's number 8 and one of our own, of course, Ben Close, following Saturday's defeat at home to Doncaster. Ben, a league start finally for your namesake at the weekend, and it's something of which Pompey supporters up and down the country have been calling for a number of weeks now, for Kenny Jackett to perhaps drop Bryn Morris alongside Tom Naylor and to really induct a player inside that midfield who likes to get forward and create attacking opportunities for the players in front of him. Now, on Saturday, you know, Ben Close played very well. He put in a lot of, you know, great passes going forward. You could see, you know, exactly what he brings to the team. However, at times it did leave the midfield exposed. So it kind of begs the question, actually, should Kenny Jackett perhaps stick to having a defensive-minded midfield partner alongside Tom Naylor? Did it actually pay off having that attacking-minded player alongside him?
Yeah, I agree. It was really nice to see him sort of get his chance as first league start of the season. But yeah, I think you're right. Did look a bit open in the middle at times. But yeah, maybe not quite the right player for that sort of game. But, you know, good to see him get his chance. Yeah. But yeah, you sort of live and learn with who the right players are, because it's still early days in the season. So you work out the sort of best players for that.
Yeah, Alex, maybe. Yeah, and that's really why, Alex, you know, the manager gets paid the money to select the teams. You know, Kenny gets a lot of criticism for the teams that he does select. And, you know, there are a lot of questions asked around some of the starting 11s we've seen throughout the course of a season. But do you think that the gamble actually played off on Saturday? Do you think there is something there of a partnership between Naylor and Close to build upon, or was it too much? Do Pompey actually need a defensive minded midfielder alongside Tom Naylor? You know, I don't know.
Well, I think it's quite frustrating, to be honest, that we were kind of talking these terms, because Close and Naylor have operated as a pairing together for a lot on many occasions, and it has operated well. Yeah. You know, I don't think Ben Close was necessarily bad on Saturday. I don't think he was necessarily brilliant like any of the players, to be honest with you. I think the frustrating thing is that, you know, we've got a flat back four and a defensive-minded midfielder in Naylor who does drop in between that gap, and we're still talking about where we can improve defensively when, you know, our goal record is really, really quite disappointing so far this season, barring that one game against Burton.
Yeah.
It's a really disappointing record. So it's frustrating to be talking about how we can sort of improve defensively when you've got quite a decent defensive shape. You've got players that are defensively capable, but we're still trying to talk about how to sort it out. I'd rather see Close play and try and see Close getting alongside Cannon or whoever it is playing in behind the striker within a game, being able to drop back and forth because he can win the ball.
Yeah.
He isn't a defensive midfielder by trade, I don't think. We can see that with the way he plays in the goals. He's but you could get another defensive midfielder, but it probably would shore up the back line, but just leads to even less creativity up front.
Yeah. We've got a few text, tweets and emails coming into the show. In fact, well, we've got loads of them coming in. We'll try and get through as many as we can before we leave you at 7 o'clock. Carol in Hayling has got involved on the text. Good evening to you, Carol. Thanks for getting in touch. She says, I wish Kenny Jackett would stop mucking about with Pompey's formation. Marquis needs someone up front to feed him with the ball. They looked pathetic on Saturday. Roger in Gosport has texted in as well. He says, good evening, Jake and co. I found it very frustrating with Kenny Jackett's methods. Tough game against Gillingham ahead. Well, time for John Marquis to make an impression. I know he is very capable of doing so. Keep the faith, as ever, Roger in Gosport. And Ellis Kearns, finally, on Twitter, Pompey are going to be missing Ellis Harrison with no signings made as well. Hope you're well, Jake. Ellis, thank you for tweeting in. Very well, thank you. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in this evening. We are going to head to our first break of the night now, lads. Coming up, we'll be continuing to pick apart Saturday's defeat. We'll read out some more text, tweets and emails from back home and look further afield to Pompey's next game. Keep getting in touch, Blues fans back home. We'll try and get through as much interaction as we can before 7 o'clock. We've already got loads coming in, as I say. 81400 is the number to text. Be sure to start your messages with the word Express. Email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @ExpressFM, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. And when we return, we'll be hearing from manager Kenny Jackett, who is looking for a big reaction when the Blues travel to Gillingham tomorrow night.
Going on to the Gillingham game, different type of game from the last two we've had, but they've started the season well. And in terms of the game, though, you know, we want to be able to bounce back after a defeat. That's the most important thing.
So stay tuned and don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back after these ads for the return of the Monday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across myself. I am joined tonight by Ben Chu and Alex Fletcher over the phone lines to go over Saturday's defeat at home to Doncaster Rovers, Pompey's second league defeat on home turf this season already after four games played. And we'll also be looking ahead to Pompey's next trip, which is away to Gillingham tomorrow night. Early kickoff that one, 6:30 at Priestfield. All of the action can be caught right here on Express FM. Pompey Live returns at 6 p.m. Going to get to some more of the text, tweets and emails coming in. Alan Swift has emailed in. Good evening, Alan. He says, hi Jake and co. With 12 lots of 45 minute halves played so far, we've only performed effectively in one of them. That's the second half against Burton, who are now near the bottom. And Harness's hat-trick, that's only 8.3% of the season so far, being up to a good standard. We're struggling to clear 1 point per game. That's around relegation form. We're also struggling with goals for a bit leaky against. Kenny should also have continued with the three at the back, with our best attacking wide players as wing-backs, as in Williams and Jacobs, or Curtis with Jacobs and Harness, Naylor and centre midfield, plus our only two strikers when fit up front. Chelsea won the Premiership when we won promotion to it under Harry and Jim with this proven and effective system. Kenny Jackett's stubborn faith with his 4-2-3-1 will see his contract not being renewed next year. These are facts as so much as opinions, according to Alan in Southsea. He then goes on to say, we really need to find a good free agent, box-to-box central midfielder and a striker to boost our promotion or to escape relegation chances. Thank you to Alan Swift on the emails. And some good points raised within that email, Ben, and one of which has also been mentioned by another texter earlier in the show, is that fans aren't too happy with Kenny chopping and changing with the formation and the tactics. In previous games, we deployed three at the back. We had two up front in Harrison and Harness. Back on Saturday, we changed that back to a 4-2-3-1, left a lone striker up top. Is this something which you also are worried about? Do you think that Kenny should actually just stick to one set of tactics and stick with that for the rest of the season? Because clearly changed it on Saturday and we've ended up being defeated.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of finding one that really works. Sticking with one and then going with that to the end of the season. You keep chopping and changing and you see what happens with losing games like Saturday.
Yeah. Mark on the text, and this is a question for both of you lads. Mark Matex asks, does the panel think that Kenny will go if we lose both at Gillingham and Sunderland? Question from Mark Matex there. Alex Fletcher, I'll throw that one to you first. Necessarily, do you think Kenny will go, or would you like to see him to go, if we do lose against Gillingham and Sunderland? What are your thoughts on that one?
Would I like to see him go? Yeah, of course, to be honest with you. I think that's the viewpoint of most Pompey fans. However, I do understand the sort of situation that the club is in at the moment with the pandemic, with the money and the finances. I think it would be tricky to, you know, there's potential for layoffs at the club. I think it would be very tricky to lay off certain staff members at the club and then go out and say, oh, we need to spend £400,000, £500,000 on a payoff for Kenny Jackett, considering he's in his last year of his contract. If we lose against Gillingham and Sunderland, I don't think there'll be a knee-jerk reaction in that regard, although, to be honest with you, it might not be particularly knee-jerk at this stage. I think the only real situation where I think this season we would sack him is if we are teetering close to the relegation zone. I think if we sit mid-table, which is, in my opinion, that's where we're going to be for the majority of the season with this inconsistency. If we do sit in those positions, he will sit it out for the rest of the season. Yeah. And would be surprised, unless we do get promoted this season, would be surprised if he does stay on. But I don't think there's going to be an imminent sacking. I think Pompey fans will have to just continue to be a bit patient and perhaps, you know, understandably patient with things, with where things are going.
Yeah. Ben, is it difficult to argue with that? Have you got anything to add to that? I think Alex has summed up the feelings of most Pompey fans, but while also adding a bit of a reality check as well to the situation.
Yeah, totally agree with everything Alex just said. He said all the points I wanted to say, really. But with losing sort of 500,000 in revenue each game, that's the rest of his contract paid up, and that's not certainly the club are looking to cough up at the moment. So, yeah, totally agree with what you said, Alex.
Let's talk about, you know, we've already mentioned the home atmosphere, Alex, and how Pompey may have missed that so far this season. Now we'll talk about really the squad and how they play against certain sides in the division. Now, in previous seasons, Pompey fans have been frustrated. And to be honest, this isn't just a recent thing. You know, this is just the Pompey way. Struggling against perhaps the lower sides in the division, but raising our game against bigger sides like, you know, like the Sunderlands, like the Ipswiches, like the Wickham of last season. Those were the teams we actually got results against. Whereas this season, you know, it's hard to judge us off of one game, but we've had a few decent wins. We finally come up against a strong side in Doncaster Rovers, yet that seems to have been completely flipped on its head. And it appears from what we've seen so far that we are perhaps unable to compete with those strong sides at the top end of the division.
Yeah, of course. It's not at this stage, I think, a case of raising the game when it comes into a match, because a lot of the time it's the atmosphere that brings that. To be honest with you, at this stage, that the confidence levels of the players is so down. I don't think they really come into the games with confidence. They grow in confidence if they play well. The Burton game is the best example. They started to get a bit of momentum and they built on confidence. But you can't rely on certain players to just play decent football. You can't rely on goals and chances to go your way to build confidence. That has to come from the dressing room before the game and at half time.
Yeah. Another bit of proof now, Ben, that statistics do actually lie. Now, after the win against MK the previous week, Pompey fans and rightfully so, you know, a lot of supporters who were voicing their frustrations after the game, despite the victory, had a lot of good points to take from that. But a lot of frustration came down to the fact that MK, they had 71% possession and they had, I think, over double the amount of shots that Pompey had. However, the Blues came away with a 2-1 victory and, in my opinion, is the result that counts more than anything. And with the way that MK have shown to play this season, that's quite, it's a bit of a pattern. They like to have that possession but not actually achieve the results. Whereas this weekend, Pompey had the lion's share of possession, edging it really, 56% possession compared to Doncaster's 44. The Blues had 16 shots compared to Donny's 9. So, as I said at the start, proof that stats can lie and mean nothing. And at the end of the day, it is just the end result and seeing out the match that, you know, holds the utmost importance in this division.
Yeah, the end result matters, but I think, like you say, with all the shots, we've got to be taking those chances, but possession's also key. But if you keep letting them go at goal, then, they soon find the net, but I don't know, until then, they'll work out who's sort of best attacking option. But again, that's sort of down to lack of recruitment, I think, in not giving as many options to stick more strikers, you know, alternate who's sort of playing.
Yeah. And that leads me on nicely to the next point, really, Alex. There appears to be no obvious source of goals within this Pompey team now that Ellis Harrison is going to be out injured for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Ronan Curtis hasn't really had the greatest of starts to the campaign, although we know what he can do when he is on top of his game. Marquis has been a mixture of under par slash not necessarily fitting into the system of which Kenny Jackett employs. Ryan Williams has never really been a goal scorer throughout his career, as much as he is a decent asset to the team. And Marcus Harness, a player who we all know what he can deliver, like Ronan Curtis on his day, we know he's a fantastic performer. But do you think that maybe inconsistency creeps in with his play?
Yeah, it's so tricky at the moment, to be honest with you, because you've mentioned all the players that have all had, you know, Curtis, Marquis, Harness, have had decent scoring records at times in their career, whether that be with Pompey or with other clubs. So we've definitely got the quote-unquote firepower, but they're not operating as a unit. They're not operating with a clear system. And Marquis, I think, is the biggest victim of that, who's basically playing in a team with a system that doesn't suit him particularly well. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't think he's been flawless. I do think he has to take responsibility for missed chances and things like that. But we're not playing to his strengths. Harness on his day can do things well, but you can't rely on him to be kind of individually brilliant. You do need a team. So that's the thing, that the players are there. The players that can score goals are in that team, but there's no real coherent link currently within that front line of creativity to actually score those goals. I mean, you could have, you look at the front three of Liverpool, they're all fantastic players, but they work as a unit. And that's what makes them so good as a team. You need a team that works as a unit as well as having decent players to score goals.
Yeah. And this is one of the questions I put out to supporters prior to the start of the show, Ben. And the question was, the signing of John Marquis last summer, as much as it brought such delight to Pompey fans, we all know how prolific he is. He's a fantastic goal scorer. And really the character that you want within the dressing room, and someone who, you know, I think really gets the club. He's a real passionate footballer and he wants nothing but the best. And that's absolutely no criticism to the player of which, you know, the question I'm about to ask. Do you think the transfer of John Marquis last season was perhaps a bit of a panicked one? Because, yes, a fantastic signing. However, as Alex mentioned, doesn't really fit into the mould of which Kenny Jackett likes to play football.
Yeah, I agree. But I think he was one of those signings we were all excited to see, you know, coming for with a big price tag on his head. I was excited to see him play. I don't think, like you say, he's quite fitted into how we play, but he's a great player. He's capable of putting the ball in net, just isn't right to the system that we play. You know, he's proven goal scoring.
Yeah,
his time at Doncaster, but I think he's just struggling with form at the moment. Now Harrison's out with 2 to 3 weeks on the sidelines. He's sort of the guy we're looking for to score those goals.
Yeah, lads, thank you both again very much. We're going to hear now from Kenny Jackett. Ollie Marsh asked the gaffer earlier today if his squad is ready for tomorrow's game, despite this short turnaround in fixtures.
Oh yeah, definitely. We knew this schedule's coming, and we've been ready for it and waiting for it, really, in terms of the games. We've had a long training period, so and especially after a defeat on Saturday as well, despite a very close game. And I did feel that both sides played pretty well. We edged it, but you know, we've couldn't really transfer our, let's say, good play into goals, and ultimately that's everything, and that's cost us the game. But then going on to the Gillingham game, different type of game from the last two we've had, but they've started the season well. And in terms of the game, though, you know, we want to be able to bounce back after a defeat. That's the most important thing.
What's the latest on Ellis Harrison? Obviously, he came off with an injury on Saturday.
Yeah, he'll be out at least a couple of weeks, and you know, certainly won't play this week. But we'll scan him today, see where he is. But you know, the estimation is 2 to 3 weeks at the moment.
How big of a blow is that to you? Obviously, he's been really leading the line well over the past few weeks.
He has, but there's opportunities for other people. We know we're going to get injuries somewhere, and it isn't too bad, although, you know, he won't play against Gillingham or Sunderland, definitely. But for us, anyway, you know, we understand that we don't want injuries. We know they come, and after that, it's, you know, it's an opportunity, and a big opportunity for John, definitely.
Do you feel like the players themselves as well, who can fit into those positions, are sort of raring to go and ready to take that opportunity if it comes?
Yeah, I do. And you know, for Ronan Curtis and for Marcus Arnis, you know, some of their best qualities are goal scoring. And I understand that mainly they've been wide players, but if we can put them into the right areas, we do think they're good enough finishers to score. So coming up the right combinations is important for us to be able to do that.
You've come up against Steve Evans a number of times. Do you feel confident that you'll be able to counteract his style of football?
Every game in this division is close. I've watched a number of games yesterday, mainly upcoming opposition, but obviously you watch the good teams as well as the manager. And I'm looking at the how tight the games are, and you know, the consistent sides can edge those, but they're not easy games. There's no easy games. There's different types of styles. You know, from MK Dons, Gillingham will obviously be different. Doncaster's different again. So you know, we have to adapt to that. We have to know, but also, you know, we have confidence in the group of players that we have. They have a lot of ability, and want to, you know, be delivering results consistently, and you know, bouncing back from a defeat on Saturday is a very important one. But also knowing that you shouldn't ever underestimate anybody, but you shouldn't overestimate them either. You know, we can win any game if we get our game right, and we have to believe that.
You mentioned how tight the games are. Gillingham last time out lost to MK Dons. Can you read too much into that?
Well, with the MK Dons performance last week, you know, everybody could tell that, you know, they played well against Ipswich in a draw. They played well against ourselves in a loss or whatever. You know, you don't necessarily want to be playing MK Dons next, and that was where it was. But it does show you where the division is right at the moment. Every game is a difficult one. Every game's close.
Yeah, and it doesn't come much more difficult than Gillingham. They've been almost a bit of a bogey side for you over the past few seasons. Does that sort of creep into the back of your mind at all? I know you're not one for omens, but...
Not necessarily, no. I do think that if you keep persevering, then you're due one. You know, if it's more the other way, that I'd think that, you know, if you keep winning, do you... You know, sometimes is there a loss coming? So, you know, for us anyway, you know, I understand there have been difficult games. Every game is difficult. And if we haven't won, it's about time we did, and I'm sure we can.
The pre-match thoughts of manager Kenny Jackett there, who will be looking for a quick reaction from his side tomorrow night. Still to come tonight, myself, Ben and Alex will be here to preview Pompey's next league fixture. We'll continue to read for your text, tweets and emails, and we'll also be hearing from Mason Jordan, who has below down on the Blues' midweek opponents. Don't stop getting in touch with us Pompey fans. We're now asking for your score predictions ahead of Pompey's trip to Gillingham. The three of us will be right back for the third and final part of the show, right here on 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very warm welcome back to the show. We've made it to part three of this evening's Football Hour on Express FM, which has been driven to you by our friends over at Stagecoach Buses. Be sure to head over to stagecoach.co.uk to find out more on fares, timetables and up-to-date information in line with the latest government COVID guidelines. Got loads of text, tweets and emails coming in, Blues fans. Thank you very much for getting involved. Try and get through as many as we can before 7 o'clock this evening. An email here from Stephen Jerome, who says, "Hi guys, what I'd like to know is how have we failed to add players to the squad during the transfer window when there were opportunities to do so? I know Niall Ennis was linked with a move to Pompey from Wolves, yet it didn't materialise and he went to Burton. I believe a player from Gillingham who moved to Bristol Rovers was also linked with a move to us as well, and that didn't happen either. I just can't understand how Kenny Jackett can say he's happy with what he's got when we only have two recognised strikers, Harrison and Marquis, in the squad. And the injury to Harrison now will only increase the fans' concerns even more." Alex Fletcher, I'm going to ask for your opinion on that email from Stephen Jerome. Stephen, thank you for getting in touch, by the way. Always a pleasure. Always great to hear from you, Stephen, in Southsea. His point there, Alex, in regards to why did Pompey not strengthen their options up top? Because now it's clearly come back to bite us in the backside.
To be honest with you, I don't really necessarily agree with the interpretation that we did need to go and sign another striker. We've got two very, very accomplished strikers in the team, and we've got players that can play in that position. I think the problem is that from an ownership perspective, why would you go out and spend a certain amount of money or go out even to get a player on free or on loan that was a striker when seemingly no striker at the moment can consistently hold down a position in the team with the way that we're playing football? Yeah. You know, we seem to... You know, if we play long ball style, that suits Ellis Harrison more, but then he doesn't have the sort of clinical striker's instinct, perhaps, that Marquis has. But Marquis doesn't, as we've said before, doesn't necessarily suit the system. So I think the problems will go a lot deeper than just simply needing to sign a new player. We've got two decent strikers that can prove themselves and can play at this level, and on their game have been fantastic. Yeah. The problems go deeper than just signing.
And a question for you now, Ben. I'll throw this one to you from Linda Mail on the emails. She asks, does anyone think we have a better squad now than the one we won promotion with from League Two? I think we've lost leaders on the pitch and also the people who would fight to win. They've lost all confidence and maybe in the manager who doesn't know what formation to play, and we've lost our way on the pitch. The players cannot look to the touchline for help. I know it's early in the season. We've had a bad start last season as well, but we did not lose two games at home this early in the campaign, and we had better players. The only thing we have won under Jackett is the Checker Trade Trophy, which really was the best day out for a few years. He may have got us to two playoffs, but we went out with a whimper. So the question there, Ben, do you think that Pompey now have a better squad than the one in which won promotion from League Two under Paul Cook in 2017?
No, not particularly. But I think it's all about how you've strengthened. We've strengthened different areas, but I think we've lost, as you said, as was mentioned, the leaders. I think people like, you know, Michael Doyle being one of them, a real leader on the pitch, really sort of held his ground and looked like a real leader. I don't think we actually have one that looks a standout leader at the moment. Yeah. And someone that looks like they want to control the team and direct them when it's all going wrong.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear a bit more about this week's opponents now, shall we? Mason Jordan has a more in-depth look at tomorrow night's host, Gillingham.
Following yet another defeat on home soil for the Blues, attention now turns to a doubleheader of away games for Kenny Jackett's side. Before making a long trip up to Sunderland on Saturday, Pompey must first face up away from home with the only Football League club based in Kent, Gillingham.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Blues will be looking to put Saturday's defeat, their second of the new season, behind them for now as they look to bounce back on the road. Pompey's last game away from Fratton ended in a 3-0 trophy victory at Southend, having defeated Burton Albion 4-2 just 3 days prior in the league. Can Kenny Jackett keep up his side's decent travelling record with a much-needed result at Priestville?
Manager.
Renowned hothead Steve Evans, who is well-known for his disruptive past as well as for his extremely loud screams from the touchline, he's currently the manager at Gillingham. However, there's no denying that his hard work at Priestville is paying off, and the fans of the club are right behind him. The Scotsman had managed teams such as Rotherham, Leeds and Peterborough United before making the move to Kent in 2019. Evans has been known to receive complaints, fines and suspensions for his ill-mannered ways and short temper, often sent to the stands and picking up touchline bans for his antics. Notable managerial honours include 2 conference titles with Boston United and Crawley Town and back-to-back promotions with Rotherham, with whom he achieved automatic promotion from League 2 in 2013 and a League 1 playoff final success the following year. At Gillingham, the 57-year-old has recorded 20 wins from 54 games, holding out for 19 draws and having been defeated on 15 occasions, conjuring a win percentage of just 37%.
One to watch.
One-time million-pound man Jacob Mellis is a player to keep an eye on during this match. The 29-year-old midfielder became Steve Evans' third signing of the new summer when he signed a 2-year deal on August the 10th. Mellis joined as a free agent after being released at the end of his contract at Bolton Wanderers. Mellis came onto the scene in 2007 when Premier League giants Chelsea paid out £1 million for his services whilst he was only 16 years old. Touted as a potential star for the future, he was part of Chelsea's team that reached the FA Youth Cup final under Paul Clement in 2008, asserting himself as a regular within the Chelsea reserves. Despite an exciting start to life at Stamford Bridge, Mellis never made a senior appearance for the Blues and departed on a permanent deal to Barnsley in 2012. He has since spent the rest of his career in the Football League, featuring over 200 times for teams such as Blackpool, Bury, Mansfield Town and now Gillingham.
Top scorer.
Winger Jordan Graham is the Gills' leading scorer in all competitions this season and second overall in the League One rankings. The 25-year-old has 4 goals and 1 assist to his name. That's just 1 strike behind leader Gwion Edwards, who plays in midfield for Ipswich Town. Graham initially signed for Gillingham on an end-of-season loan deal back on deadline day of the January transfer window. However, only went on to make 7 appearances for the club due to a sudden suspension of the league as a result of the coronavirus outbreak. He was unsuccessful in his pursuit to net during that shortened loan spell, but has come back to make amends for the new season, signing permanently in August.
Current form.
An otherwise impressive start to the new season was tarnished at the weekend when the Gills were beaten 2-0 by Rock Bottom Milton Keynes away from home. Prior to that defeat, Steve Evans' side, who have been tipped by some to beat the surprise package of this campaign, had picked up 3 wins, a draw and a defeat in their opening 5 fixtures. Their sole defeat was at the hands of near unstoppable Hull City. Elsewhere, Gillingham have been knocked out of the Carabao Cup after a 1-0 loss away to Stoke, followed by a first-round success over Coventry City. In the EFL Trophy, they sit third in their table behind Arsenal under-21s and Ipswich Town. Can Pompey bounce back from another home defeat by picking up all 3 points away to the Gills? All the unmissable action is on Pompey Live.
A closer look there at Gillingham, who welcome Pompey to the Priestfield Stadium for a 6:30 kickoff tomorrow evening. Don't forget, you can tune in for all of the build-up to that game from 6 o'clock here on Express FM. We're going to get to some more interaction coming into us before we do quickly get the score predictions in. Forrest Watson has got in touch on Facebook. He says, sad reality is, Jake, that the performance on Saturday is a normal performance under this manager and we will see it time and time again. Sad, but true, says Forrest on Facebook. And Blake O'Neill replies, with a poor performance as a whole from a team, but it hurts to say this, but it's not surprising. It is a common occurrence under the current manager, and I can see it continuing for a long while. We may have got a couple of wins together, but they weren't that great. And with the sides we have to face in Gillingham, in brackets, bogey team, and Sunderland away, I think we'd be lucky to get a point from both of those. Thank you to those lads for getting in touch. James Bateman says, we lacked composure on the ball on Saturday, gave the ball away way too easily and struggled to create any decent chances. Defending was awful again, says James on Facebook. Marcus Deakins says, if I gave a brutally honest assessment, you wouldn't be allowed to read on air. Thank you, Marcus, for your honesty for that one. OK, lads, very quickly, before we do move on with the score predictions, Gillingham away tomorrow night. We'll start off with you, Ben, managed by Steve Evans, who Mason's mentioned in this week's opposition there is it's quite a loud figure and everyone seems to know who he is. So I imagine tomorrow, with a game played behind closed doors, I think you may hear his voice a little bit more than you might hear Andy Moon's commentary.
Yeah, he's quite a figure, isn't he?
Quite vocal.
You can always hear him.
Yeah.
He's, you know, standout. But, yeah, he's probably helped them, really. You know, you can always hear him, and you think he's probably guiding them to where they have got to so far. And they're always pushing up. So,
yeah.
After their loss on Saturday, but all their results have been good apart from that. So, you can see him sort of being a surprise team.
A controversial figure, Alex, but nonetheless a motivator.
Yeah, the complete opposite, I think, in many respects to Kenny Jackett. I mean, his disciplinary record is very, very poor as a manager, and perhaps he does take it too far. However, like I said, in an empty stadium, he's going to be the voice you hear. I mean, when we listen to it on the radio or watch it, That'll be what we hear. That'll be what we hear from him. And to be honest with you, I think that doesn't help Kenny Jackett. Don't get me wrong. I'm not necessarily saying that we need a Steve Evans kind of manager as our manager, but there's going to be a lot of Pompey fans questioning the fact that he is showing a lot of passion, a lot of sort of grit and confidence and determination on the touchline, as opposed to our manager, who's generally quite static.
Bocker's a fantastic tweet on Twitter. I love this one. He says, I love Mason Jordan's description of Steve Evans as a renowned hothead. His head is hotter than a furnace, says Mockers on Twitter. Thank you for getting in touch, Mockers. And just quickly, Ben, Gillingham, like you said earlier, a team actually who could become a bit of a surprise package this season, but they've been a bit of a bogey team for Pompey in recent campaigns. Is this a chance for the Blues to actually throw that away and well, get back to winning ways?
Yeah, absolutely. As we mentioned earlier, obviously, no one has a real home advantage this year. Not that they're ones that necessarily are allowed, but I mean, you know, it's a good chance to go there, give them a good go, and hopefully come away with a win. But obviously, we haven't won there since 2017 with Matty Kennedy goal. They're not much higher than us in the league. I think we could probably get something out of it.
Okay, Ben, Alex, thank you both again. I'm going to have to stop you there, though, because it's time now to move on and hear just how our local non-league sides fared throughout this weekend's action.
Hamilton Waterlooville came from behind to beat Billericay Town on Saturday. Hawks defender Sam Magri netted their first 10 minutes from time, and Tommy Wright scored the winner in the dying embers to ensure they were to leave Essex with all 3 points. Gosport were held to a 2-2 draw at home to Harrow Borough, as former Pompey defender Matt Casey conceded a penalty in second-half injury time. Liam Ferdinand converted the spot kick to ensure things would end all square. United Services of Portsmouth fell to a defeat at the hands of Ringwood Town at the weekend. A late James Franklin goal wasn't enough as the away side held on to win 2-1. Moneyfields came out on top against league leaders Basingstoke in the second qualifying round of the Buildbase FA Trophy. A brace from Kieran Roberts saw the Moneys book their place in the next round with a 2-1 victory. Baffin's Milton Rovers earned themselves a point against Hadley Calliver on Saturday. Tommy Scott's effort early in the second half ensured Rovers would share the points. And Becky Barth continued her form in front of goal as she helped Pompey women to a comfortable 3-0 win at home to Hounslow. Barth got on the score sheet either side of half-time as the Blues secured their third league win of the season.
Ryan Honey there with a roundup of all of the results involving our local sides and, of course, the Pompey women from this weekend's action. Good few decent wins for our local teams from the weekend. Going to get to some score predictions now coming in on Facebook. Plenty of them coming in. Thank you for getting involved. Paul Crage is going for a 0-0. Anthony Lee says 2-0 to Pompey. Gary Larkham says we're going to lose 1-0, but he hopes he's wrong. Peter Brearley says home win for Gillingham, but always hopeful. Anthony Layton says 2-1 to Gillingham. Martin Kerr says 2-0 to Gillingham. Chris Whitewick says 2-1 to Gillingham. Gary Ashton says 3-1 Gillingham. Not a lot of confidence coming on the social media, lads. Are we feeling a little bit more confident here on the Football Hour? Ben, I'm going to start off with you. Score prediction, please, very quickly.
Well, I'm forever the optimist, but I think I'm going to have to go for a 1-1 draw. Simply based on Saturday. So,
Ben, thank you. 1-1 draw. Alex, very quickly.
Yeah, I don't think I could actively predict us to lose on the radio, so I have to say 1-1. As much as I'm not feeling particularly confident, I'll say 1-1 as well.
Yeah, you've both nailed my score prediction as well. 1-0 draw is what I'm going for as well. Well, I'm afraid that's it. That's all we've got time for tonight, lads. Once again, a big thanks to Ben Chu and Alex Fletcher for calling in this evening, as well as to Stagecoach across the South for supporting the show this season, and of course to everyone who tuned in throughout the hour and got involved via the text, tweets and emails. The rest of your Monday here on Express looks like this. The Soft Rock Show with Jeff Dorsett and Adrian Collis is coming up next, right after be 7 o'clock headlines. They'll be bringing you the latest releases from the likes of Senton Bombs, The Far North and Joey Molland right up until 9 p.m, which is when Dan Ogus returns with Scattering the Roots. He'll be here for another 2 hours of folk, blues and roots music through until 11. Henry Deacon will be back to discuss in full all of the action from the weekend just gone involving our local non-league sides when Over the White Line returns on Wednesday evening from 6. And I'll be back with the next instalment off of Football Hour at the same time this Friday. Two more Blues supporters will be calling in to preview Pompey's trip up to Sunderland. But before all of that, it's a swift turnaround for the Blues, who are back on the road tomorrow night. They take on Gillingham away from home. Join myself and Ryan Steelwell live from Priestfield at the early time of 6 p.m. for all of the build-up to that game, which kicks off at 6:30. But for now, it's good night from me. I wish you a safe and enjoyable rest of your evening, and I hope to hear from you around this time tomorrow. We'll see you then. Take care, stay safe, Pompey fans, and play up Pompey.
Play up Pompey, Pompey, play up.
Good night.